pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the early days of the Eastern Orthodox traditions, the week after Easter Sunday was often observed as days of holy hilarity. Churchgoers and pastors would tell jokes, they'd sing silly songs, they'd dance, they played practical jokes on each other. And the custom came out of the writings of some early church theologians about the practical joke that God played by raising Jesus from the dead. The Easter laugh is what the theologians called it. So in honor of that great tradition, next week here at UMC, we're going to be observing Holy Humor Sunday with some fun songs. You should come with some jokes to share, some funny stories. It's going to be a fun day. One of the best joke tellers that I've ever had in my life was a professor I had in seminary who was also a rabbi. And he always had good jokes, some of which were appropriate to tell in church, some of which were wholly inappropriate. This is one of my favorite church-appropriate jokes. So a priest, a rabbi, and a minister die and go to heaven. And during their orientation interview, the angel asked them, when your congregations are looking down at you in your coffin at your funeral, what do you hope that they will say about you? So the priest thought about it, and he said, I think I'd like them to say he was a faithful servant to God and the church. And the angel said, that's a good answer. So then the angel turned to the minister and said, what would you like to hear your congregation say about you? And the minister thought about it and then said, I would hope that they would say she was a caring teacher and leader. And the angel said, that's a good answer too. So turning to the rabbi, the angel said, and what about you? What would you like to hear your congregation say when they're looking at you in your coffin? And without hesitation, the rabbi said, I'd like to hear them say, look, he's still moving. So there you go, a pretty good joke to start our Easter celebration. I've always liked the idea of holy hilarity, especially following the heaviness of Lent and the solemnity of Holy Week. I love an Easter that's bursting with color and brightness and promise, which is why sometimes the beginning of the story, as John tells it, kind of doesn't sit quite well with me. Because the first Easter didn't start with trumpets and flowers and frilly new outfits. Actually, it sort of has a little bit of an ominous beginning. It's dark. I mean, it's literally dark because this starts before the sun rises, but it is sad, and it is filled with grief. The story starts with Mary alone in the garden weeping. It starts with fear and confusion. The stone's been rolled away, and the body that was supposed to be there isn't there. Mary's sorrow and her fear reminds us of the truth that our bright, shiny Easter doesn't always reveal to us so easily. That the world of that first Easter day was a dangerous world. It was a deeply unsettled and uncertain world. It was a deeply broken world. It was a world that was exactly as broken on Sunday morning as it had been on Friday afternoon. And that feels very important to remember, especially with the reality of our world right now. Jesus doesn't rise on Sunday morning to a world that has been miraculously fixed, that has been completely set right. He rises into a world that's just as broken as the world that crucified him on Friday. But why? Why get up and rise? Like, really, why would he possibly want to come back here after we tried to get rid of him in the most excruciating way possible? Think about it. Jesus leaves the world in this horrible, painful, awful way, probably the worst way that we humans have devised to punish and kill people. And he goes and he gets to be with God. And he gets to be away from all of this stuff on earth, the cruelty and the injustice and the chaos. So why come back? Why get up from the tomb on that Easter morning? What compelled him to throw off those grave clothes and roll away the stone and come out into a world that was still full of the people who had condemned him and betrayed him and abandoned him and killed him? I think the answer, as it so often is with Jesus, is love. Jesus came to love this world, to love it in all of its messy, hurting, violent, frightened, longing vulnerability. Jesus came to love us ferociously and fully, to love us when we fail, to love us when we flounder, to love us when we falter, to love us when we fumble. Jesus came to earth, the Word made flesh, so that we would be able to understand and to see with our eyes the full depth and breadth of God's love for us. And I think that Jesus got up out of the tomb so that he could prove to Mary and to the disciples and to all of us exactly what that love can do. Love can enter into our brokenness and not become overwhelmed by it, not become jaded or cruel or disheartened by it, but instead find empathy in it and find forgiveness for it and meet the brokenness with healing. Love that could not and would not ever turn away from us. Love that could not and would not ever be taken from us, not by what happens to us and not by what we do and not even by death. Jesus got up from the grave so that he could show us, so that he could convince us that even our own cruelty and violence and fear and brokenness will not separate us from that love. Jesus got up from the grave to convince us that even our own cruelty and violence and fear and brokenness does not get the last word. That love does, and love always will, which means always, always, always there is hope that we can transform the graves that we dig for ourselves into gardens of newness, into places where hope and joy and love and peace can take root and can blossom. I think that Jesus got up from the grave to prove to us that that sort of love is for us. And I think that Jesus got up from the grave to prove to us that that sort of love is in us, that we are capable of it, that we are called to it. I mean, that's exactly what he said on Thursday night when he and his disciples were in the upper room and he washed their feet and he said, "This is how people will know that you belong to me and that I belong to you. When you love others the way that I have loved you." Jesus knew that we were capable of that kind of love, of rising to that kind of love. He spent his time on earth showing us and teaching it so that we too would know that. So that we too would know that we could get up and go to the low places and to the hard places and to the empty places and to the lifeless places and to the hopeless places, and that we could share that good news Easter love, love that is fierce and unwavering and empathetic and forgiving. Jesus rose to prove to us once and for all that that love is real and alive and ours. Ours to receive and ours to give. You can see it in the way that John tells the story. You can see it in the way that the disciples race toward the empty tomb the second that Mary Magdalene tells them that it's empty. You can see the love that Jesus had instilled in them, now reflected back to him. Hoping against hope that somehow their beloved friend was alive. He loved them. And now they rise up to love. You can see it in the way that Mary Magdalene hangs around the garden, unwilling to abandon Jesus, even if he's dead. He loved her. And now she rises up with love, that sort of hard, tender love that comes out of grief. Easter is Christ's love story. It's about God's deep, faithful love for us and for our world, broken and beautiful and messy and miraculous as it is. It's love that heals and transforms and brings life to the places that the death-dealing ways of the world have claimed as their own. But Easter is also our love story. Because the resurrection isn't just about Jesus getting up from the tomb to love the world. It's about us getting up and getting out to love our world, broken and beautiful and messy and miraculous as it is. Where do you see brokenness in need of healing? Where do you see fear in need of empathy? Where do you see injustice in need of rightness, death in need of life, hopelessness in need of transformation? Where do you see lives and situations in need of love that doesn't turn away or run away? Love that stays and hopes and holds. That's where you find your reason to rise. Rise to love in the midst of brokenness, love in the midst of the imperfect, love in the midst of the unsettled, love in the midst of even the scary. This Lent, we've been pondering what we might need to give up in order to fully embrace Christ's resurrection love. So I ask you again, what do you need to give up in order to get up? What do you need to stop chasing in order to receive Christ's love and in order to reflect Christ's love? What do you need to let die in order that you may truly, truly live? On this Easter Sunday, can you give up thinking that what you do doesn't matter? Can you give up thinking that God doesn't have a way to use you? Can you give up thinking that you're too small to make a difference? Can you give up thinking that life won't get better? Can you give up thinking that we won't miss you if you're gone? Can you give up thinking that love can't still work miracles? All of the hoopla that we fill Easter Sunday with, the wonderful hoopla, the music and the beauty and the shininess and the color, it can get us thinking that transforming the world and getting up has to be like a big production, you know, something monumental, something spectacular. But remember that very first Easter morning, how quietly the miracle of the resurrection revealed itself. How small it really was, in a tiny garden, with a simple loving word that changed everything and revealed how powerful God's love is. When you get up, when you rise up, even in small ways, even in just a small word of mercy or a small way of standing up for justice, or holding space for someone's grief or holding space for someone's joy. Each kind word you say, each time that you go out of your way to show someone that they are important to you, you are sharing the resurrection. You are allowing Christ's love to rise up within you. You are getting up and you are transforming the world from death to life. That's the Easter love story that is yours and mine and ours as individuals and together as the body of Christ in this world. So may we carry that love to the broken places and to the lonely places, to the places where hope is dimming, to the places where power and promise of God's living, lasting love is needed. May we rise to that love. And in that love, get up and get out so that all who encounter us might look at us and say, see, love is alive. It's on the move. May it be so. Amen.